together and we were to talk together about that you said we can do two things together at the same time, because we were talking about seeing and hearing, or hearing and knowing is the car sound, different moments, because the moments are so fast, it seems one moment, but in reality, no, there are different ones. Do you find it difficult? That's for everybody, because we are so used to think of cars and absorb in stories about people the whole day, really. But sometimes when we are talking, like now on Dhamma, we are reminded of realities, and that's why it's good to hear all the time about seeing as an example, that seeing only experience visible objects, and that it arises and falls away, but it cannot be realized at once, the arising and falling away. But first we have to know there are different realities with different characteristics. We talked a little about characteristic, and you said you like to know the name first and then the characteristic. But never mind about name, because the Dhamma is about reality now, and no matter how you call it, we can learn some names and it is a little helpful, but don't worry too much about it in the beginning.
Someone who has a loud voice is Thai, and he has a question about family issues. I've actually talked to a few people about different family issues, so I think it's a good topic.
A little bit nervous. You know, in daily life, we quite satisfied with our living now. In a good place, people around. Then sometimes had a feeling that we just like in the flowing of daily life, and most of the time forget about dhammas, and even that among us we never mention it in our daily life. It's like we lost. Sometimes, like we lost, even that of God. Sometimes we study Dhamma in our own way. Like I like to read a little bit, and the other one like to listen to the from the tape. But we hardly discuss about Dhamma. Then maybe. We feel that sometimes we feel that we lost. Then if that way, then I think that maybe it could be less and less in the future. So sometimes we're concerned about that. So if you have any comments.
So is there an idea that if one is interested in the Dhamma, one should be discussing it all the time with other people who are interested?
No. I mean, when look at news and like the other, you discuss even that online, emails and something like that?
Right. As you say, according to one's inclination. Not everyone who could be participating online does so. So it's only for those who find value in that kind of thing. Others just read the list without contributing. But certainly if one has that kind of activity in one's day, then it can be a condition for reflecting on the subject matter that's being discussed. But there are many different ways of reflecting, of being stimulated to reflect on the Dhamma. It doesn't have to be one particular kind of activity.
Is there any idea or feeling of being lost now?
No.
So actually it's just only at moments of thinking that, oh, we're a bit lost, or we're just forgetting about the Dhamma, so it's just a moment of thinking. So even then, that kind of thinking is conditioned now or then. And and it can be understood that it's just thinking about a long story about being lost and carrying on one's life and not discussing enough. And actually it's thinking about whether there should be some setting of rules, that there should be more discussion, there should be this. But even at that moment of thinking like that, just like now, thinking about the truck or thinking about anything, it's just moments of thinking and then gone. And I think that if there is interest in the Dharma, or there is beginning of understanding, it finds its way. And I was chatting to Vincent about how for everyone it's different. Some people like to read, some like to write, some study. But actually, it's the understanding now, this moment, whether it's thinking about being lost or seeing or hearing or busy in one's work, that's important. Otherwise, people think when they're busy with their work that this is some kind of obstacle because they should be reading more or discussing more. And that's not the right way at all. We've had many, many years when we worked really long hours and no time for discussion or reading sometimes. But for me, I was always very confident that none of that mattered, because it was all about understanding now, no matter how one's life was going. So always back to this moment. So when feeling lost, more precious to understand the citta, the Dharma at that moment, than to open a book or to find someone to discuss with or anything else. So always back to now.
I think you know the story about someone during the Buddha's time. He approached the Buddha and then left. And the Buddha said, had he been here a little longer, he would have become enlightened. I think that's to show that even hearing and understanding depends on conditions. When there are no conditions, then it won't happen. So even if you do plan to, you want to, and you plan, that doesn't necessarily mean that it will happen. And whereas if in a day you hardly ever listen, after 5 days you come and listen, you may understand. So it's just not the right conditions, that's all.
The main point is that each Dharma at each moment is conditioned. So if it's thinking about the truck now instead of thinking about seeing now, or if it's annoyance rather than understanding now, it's conditioned that moment and it can't be any other way. So rather than setting any rules or guidelines, then actually understanding what has been conditioned already now is most precious. And that's why we talk a lot about seeing and what's seen, visible object, hearing and sound, because without hearing about different realities and considering, there cannot be any understanding at this moment. So the reason for knowing more about realities is just for the understanding right now to develop very naturally. Sometimes it might be that because of one's work, one cannot join the discussions, but that doesn't mean there cannot be any understanding. Is that right, Hung?
See, your question comes basically, what's behind that is that you see the value of Dharma, right?
I think, value of Dharmas and, listen to the Dharma is one of the conditions that for the understanding to arise.
Right, but and you can also see from having heard the Dharma that attachment to self is an obstacle.
Yeah.
So
it just depends on the level of one's interest and also actual understanding. So it's not something to be concerned about. Obviously, if there is some part of one's daily life that involves exposure to the Dhamma somehow, then one is very fortunate to have that stimulation. But even without it, it doesn't matter. You can't create it. You can't make it happen that way. It happens by conditions.
Yeah. I'd like to relate something of my own story, because it's very unusual how I came to study the Dhamma. I had to go to the United States and then come back to Thailand in order to make a long story short, I had to go to the United States and then come back to Thailand to finally meet Thanachan. And it was kind of a circuitous route, but yet it still happened, because the conditions were there for it to happen. We could say in conventional terms, I went here, I went there, but in actuality, the realities were there for it to happen. And so it depends on totally. As far as developing interest, that too depends on conditions. It's not a matter of, from now on, I will be interested in the Dhamma. It doesn't happen that way. It develops upon reading, listening, more considering, or thinking deeply. And as you become more confident in the teachings, then the interest grows. And also, it depends too on what's going. I don't want to say it depends on the stories of our individual lives, but it does depend on the various conditions that make us do different things. Okay. For instance, I belong to all kinds of organizations that I know in my heart I must put these organizations aside so that there can be more reading and attention to Dhamma. But the conditions are not there. Sometimes I've gotten rid of one organization already that I belong to, but it's difficult. So it basically boils down to the conditions. Everything boils down to conditions.
So, at the airport in Bangkok, I brought up the idea that to be able to hear the Dhamma is a result of karma. Deeds in the past. So does that play also now that we hear the Dhamma?
Anytime.
The other point that came up a little bit at our breakfast was with family members or with close friends who one would like to join for discussion, or one would like them to listen, but it may not be their way or their time, or even if they're interested in the Dhamma, they may not like to discuss Dhamma with us. We may not be the right one to share it, especially if it's a family member. And if one keeps insisting or demanding that they hear or they listen to the Dhamma, instead of helping them, it can actually just condition resentment because it's not their way or their time. So one has to be the understanding person too, and understand that for different people it's a different way. Some people like to just read on their own, but to try and insist that someone must discuss with one when they don't wish to or not interested doesn't actually help them. One has to consider whether one's considering their welfare or just whether it's for oneself, because one wants to discuss Dhamma. So it always comes back to this moment and the citta now, whether it's kusala or akusala or what the purpose is. Is the purpose really for sharing and helping it, or is it just because we want to have discussion? Many factors. Any other comments to add, Tai?
As Sarah was saying, it comes back to the citta. So as you grow in understanding and confidence, That's what matters, your own citta, right, at that moment. So no one can stop that, you know, a panya to arise if there's a condition for it.
And it's very much a case of quality, not quantity, that counts. So it doesn't matter how rarely one has the opportunity to actually engage in the Dhamma discussion. As we've said, if the interest is there, then one's reflections on it, even though it may seem, they may seem to be few and far apart in between the discussions, that is what counts and what will help the further development. And if one has been fortunate enough to hear a proper explanation of the Dhamma, then there will be good quality mental states from time to time in between visits.
And quality does not mean, you know, a particular, you know, strength or anything. Quality means at the pace you can go.
Okay.
It's at the pace that you can go, your level at that moment.
Quality for you, not by anyone else's standard.
And yesterday evening on our walk, I had a discussion with Chopi related to family issues. And Chopi, you mentioned your mother had a question she asked you to raise. Would you like to mention it?
Yes, it's my mother's question. She wanted me to ask Achan about it. When someone do the wrong thing, like to cheat it on you or even that do some criminal stuff, and she thinks that we have to tell them that it's totally wrong and they have to change it. If they won't change it, so you it's like you can you cannot forgive them if they won't change or they won't realize that it's a wrong thing. But I think that it's not necessary to think about it like that way. So she wanted me to ask Achan that if he is wrong or right, if we have to change somebody if they do the wrong thing.
Can anyone do anything just by being told?
No, already told her that.
That's why it has to be one's own understanding. If she can help the person to understand little by little, maybe that his life will change little by little too.
Yes, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's no expectation for what it's going to be at all, even right now. Would it be hearing or thinking or smelling or whatever? Each moment is conditioned, unknown all the time, unexpected as well. So just learn to understand the words of the Buddha, because it's all about the truth of everything at any time, even right now. For your thought about you don't have time enough to listen or have discussion with the others on Dhamma, it depends, because the point of listening is just to understand. And one knows that just understand is very little, is not enough. For example, if we say that we are talking about the truth of whatever appears, so that's not enough. One has to know why, what's the use, or is it valuable, benefit to understand whatever appears. See, it depends. Someone might walk across or walk by without interest at all on what is heard, but some might get struck what is there, which is heard, and just want to understand better. For example, we talk about whatever appears in order to understand the nature of it as it is. It depends on how much interest and how much you would like to understand better and better. It's just the reality which no one knows before hearing the teachings or the right words of the Buddha. For example, there is seeing now, And we have talked many, many times about seeing. What about right understanding of seeing? It seems like it's not more than yesterday. See. But after hearing that it's conditioned, just that is not enough. That's why Buddha taught for 45 years in different manners, different details, just to condition right understanding of a reality at a time. Even the word reality, it's real, but it does not appear as it is. For example, seeing what, even this, one knows how much understanding of that which is seen and the seeing as they are as a self. Because that which is seen, we think that we see something, forgetting that it can be only that which can be seen in one's life. So from hearing that visible object is seen, that which is seen impinged on the eye appears, and the eye cannot see, and that which impinged on it cannot see, but it conditioned a reality which arises to experience it. See, just this, no matter the eye, the seeing or the hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, everything in one's life, hidden all the time. Because one just pays attention to that which is seen and experienced all the time as something. And that is not right at all, because that is not true. So by learning little by little, but actually no one can do anything, because actually there are no one at all. There are only different realities at different times. Like, who knows that there will be hearing such sound? No expectation, but it's there and completely gone. See, everything just arises by conditions and go away immediately. It cannot belong to anyone, because who can stop the arising of hardness? See, when there's no touching, does it arise and fall away? See, this is the point to understand better. When there is touching, hardness is touched. If it does not arise, there is no hardness to be touched. So it has to arise to be hard. No one can make it to arise to be hard at all, but it's there. So if there is no touching, does it arise and falls away? See, this is just understand life or everything. Much more to learn or to think about or to understand, just by little by little, firmer and more confidence. Actually, there is no one who can do anything. They are only conditioned realities. If nothing arises, there wouldn't be world or anything at all. But whatever appears has arisen by conditions only. Like now, seeing, it's there already. You know or you don't know, it doesn't matter at all. See, this is to learn little by little. And you cannot force or try very much to understand this, because it's conditioned to understand how much, how little, by conditions. We listen the same word together, but it depends on accumulation of each to understand how much. But consider whether what is heard is true or not, so that we have discussion to be more confident that the truth is the truth. And the truth is better than everything else in the world. Otherwise, one lives without understanding in the magic world. Who's the magician? Citta and Chetasika.
Thank you, Raja.
There must always be the idea of someone or something, no matter there is understanding of realities or not. even when have experienced the truth of reality arising and falling away, but there must be still the idea or concept of that which is seen or heard. But there is understanding of the truth of it.
So, Eleanor, you mentioned just as we were starting that some things were quite confusing because you're not used to thinking in this way about the realities at this moment. Like, for example, if there are family issues, we're used to thinking of steps to be followed or arrangements to be made, but we're talking about the life at this moment and the problems as being in the thinking at this moment. And citta itself, you remember that citta is each moment of consciousness is citta, and citta is the kundra that creates the magic world, because we have an idea of people sitting outside and cameras and microphones and all these things just because of citta thinking about these different ideas and these different objects. So this is why citta is the creator of this magic world. If there was no citta now, if there was no thinking about microphones and cameras, where are they? So actually, life just exists at this moment, just one citta at a time. If there's no thinking about the family issues or about the work now, where is it? It's just an idea in one's mind for a moment. And this is why citta is the magician.
And consciousness creates the outside world based on what is being experienced at the present moment, together with memory. And what is being experienced and can be directly understood at the present moment is just seeing and its object, visible object, hearing and sound, and so on. Experiencing tactile objects through the body sense, and as I said, thinking about all these things and memory of past experiences. And from that is created the idea of the truck down there and the person walking over there. That's why we say that the outside world, as we understand it, is a conceptualization. What can be directly experienced and understood is just seeing an invisible object and those other things. And that's why we call these things realities, to distinguish them from the idea that is created based on those realities of the outside world. That idea of the truck down the road making the noise and so forth, it is not to say it's wrong, because everyone has the same experience and idea. But it is not directly experienced. The sound is directly experienced, but knowing that it's a truck is thinking and identifying. So the truck is not directly experienced.
Achan, although citta and chetasika, citta is the magician, but there wouldn't be this magic without rupa nimitta also, isn't it?
But rupa cannot do anything. It cannot experience.
It is not the magician. The magician is the citta. But if there were no rupa nimitta, then also citta cannot think this way.
Even citta itself, arising and falling away, unknown. So it's the nimitta of citta, as I. Even though one there at all. This is more subtle, because we think about just rupa as something, but even citta itself as I, see, it's something. So even just one word should be considered more and more, very carefully, for instance, in order to really to begin to letting go the idea of self, which is so very, very strong. For example, what is seen here, what is seen here, what is seen here, what are they? just that which is seen only. See? From hearing again and again and again and understand better and better, one begins to understand the difference between that which experiences and that which cannot experience. The table cannot classify different colors as different things at all. The table, the hardness, cannot know that. But that which arises, citta and citta-sikas, citta is that which is the faculty of the chief of experiencing only. So seeing now is the chief of experiencing. What is there so clear? Even it's in darkness, it knows that how dark it is. It's clear as that. So whatever is seen, citta experience correctly, like the fake or the false thing and the real thing, genuine one, citta experience that. So memory, which marks the difference, can understand the way it is. So in a moment there are many, many realities arising and falling away, but they are different. For example, in the day, citta sees and hears, smells, tastes and touches. This is all which appear in daily life all the time. But no understanding that it's a moment conditioned by many conditions to see the reality which experiences visible object now arises. It's now seeing. It sees. No idea at all when there's no hearing about the truth of the reality. There must be I or something all the time. And not knowing that that which is seen arises too. Otherwise, if it does not impinge on the I, there's no condition for seeing to arise and to see. It's so very miraculous when you think, how can there be seeing right now? Can anyone stop its arising? Never. No one, nobody, because actually there are only conditions for whatever arises. There are conditions for ever arises and appears now. This is a point to understand little by little in order to begin to understand what's meant by no one. There are only different realities. So now, who's this? See? Citta just experience, but sanya, acetasika, marks and remembers the difference between each shape and form, and it has the idea, something there. No I, if sanya does not arise, no remember, no remembering at all. How can it become this or that when there's no sanya? But because of sanya marks whatever arises and falls away, that it cannot be experienced directly, only the shape and form or sign of it, which is still there, is marked by sanya. And there is the idea of someone, of something, all the time.
So Ajahn, you mentioned about a magician. So we see a little dog puppy this morning, right? So is any particular difference between the citta, being the magician for human being and a dog?
We have to understand just one thing at a time. For example, if there is no visible object appearing, can there be a dog?
No.
No. And if there is that which arises in form, which arises and fall away, but there is no seeing, can there be a dog experience?
No,
seeing?
No.
No. So
I mean the citta of the dog.
Yes.
That's also the magician there.
Citta does not belong to dog.
No. I mean
I want to explain a little bit more because Cindy also asked me to repeat what is meant by citta as magician, because at this moment, because of Sanya's, Ajahn mentioned, memory, there is thinking and imagining about all kinds of things, thinking about dogs, thinking about breakfast, thinking about people here, thinking about people swimming in the lake. Because of citta, anything can be imagined based on memories from the past. So citta conjures up this whole magic fantasy world. And this is what is meant by citta as the magician, that whatever citta thinks about now, it creates this complete magic illusory world. Actually, there are no people swimming in the lake. There is no puppy dog. There are no people sitting around the table. There is just thinking about this idea, this fantasy. And if there is no thinking about that idea, that fantasy now, where is it? Where are the people on the lake? Where are the people sitting around this table? Actually, they're just the idea that is thought about at this very moment. So where is the puppy dog if there's no thinking about it too? So citta is the magician that creates this illusory world that we take for being real. And like I said to Tai, is there being lost now? It's also part of the magic world. If there's no thinking about being lost, where is the being lost? It's just an idea. It's part of the magic show created by the magician. When there's no thinking about it, no lost at all. So it's always back to this moment, seeing now, hearing now, thinking now.
So I meant for dog, the scene of a dog.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Yeah, I mean the shape and form, the imagined world, maybe a little bit.
The seeing of the dog experience is just visible object, yet the dog knows this is my master or mistress, that is my rug, my place to sleep. Yeah, it knows that.
Right. But in terms of accompanying Chittasika, the dog does not have a chance to have a banya, right?
No chance.
Or unless, even at the end of the life.
Sorry, how does this fit in with dog and the magician?
I'll just try to bring in more factor here. Even the dog see this imagined world. That's also a magician. But in terms of the power of the citta, are they all the same, the power of the magic power? For a human being and a dog, human can consider Buddha's word, but a dog has no chance.
This is not magic power, though, is it? This is accumulated tendency.
Right, but we use the word magician, so I use magic word power.
Not appropriate for understanding.
See, before Jan referred to citta and cetasika as magician, I was thinking it's citta niyama. So citta niyama is citta niyama. The dog, citta rising, followed by thinking, is just citta niyama. Mm-hmm. And to illustrate a little bit from my experience just now, the idea of magician, when John was just now referring to the sound of the truck and everyone knows that it's a truck, I was thinking that knowing that it's a truck is just momentary. In between, there's still sound of something, no thinking about truck. But suddenly, it's like the truck appears when you think about it. So that's the way it's like. From sound, something, it's because of thinking. Right. So that's like magic. Out of nothing, something.
Yeah.
Talking about realities, so we think of the citta of the dog or the citta of the human, but actually we're just talking about the nature of citta itself. So when it's not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, we're talking about the citta at moments of thinking that conjures up the world. So it doesn't matter whether we're talking about insect or dog or human. Actually, it's just the nature of citta.
The dog's citta is also a magician.
Mm-hmm. So how about the panya aspect then? Or what's your question?
Oh, that's just because there's a chance for human. The citta is accompanied by the wisdom.
But not all humans.
Nah.
Yeah. Some.
Right,
depending
right.
on
right.
roots at rebirth.
Right, right. But the dog, do they have any chance? No chance at all. But could that be reborn with three roots as a human?
What about human being?
Yeah, no, I know, you know what you're thinking.
So I think that we better understand clearer and better about each reality as it is. Now there's no doubt about citta, the chief of experiencing in a day. They appear as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. So we can know that without that which experience concept, there's no thinking, right? And besides that, there are cetasikas when they are mental reality. For example, we talk about memory or sanya, cetasika. It's not citta, but it arises, it has its own characteristic and its own function. It cannot be the chief of experiencing, but whenever it arises, it experiences the same object as citta, but it has its characteristic of marking or remembering that which appears. Only a cetasika. Well, altogether there are 52 cetasikas. Just learn to understand one by one. For example, worry, is it real? A reality? What reality? Cetasika. See, when we know that at that moment of worrying, there must be citta which experienced something and worries about that. It's the same of like or dislike. Citta experiences a reality, an object. And the cetasikas, or which arise with citta, experience the same object but perform different functions. Like is not memory. It is attached to that which it's experienced. Any time when it arises, how much in a day, from morning to evening, is that it now, attachment? Not anyone, only cetasika. Can you stop attachment to arise? Can you have less attachment? Impossible. All depends on conditions. When there's right understanding, there's a little less ignorance and attachment. Very, very little, very, very subtle.
Is it clear, Eleanor, about citta and cetasikas arising together and experiencing the same object?
I cannot say it's clear because I still not understand. I just catch some small idea and it's one idea next to the other, like, but I cannot make the link for the moment. And then I cannot really answer. It's a very big fog in front of me. Then when you speak, I have the feeling to start to understand, and it's gone.
So it's always like that for everyone in the beginning, or even sometimes after the beginning.
Sometimes I say, "Ah, yes, yes, it's this," and immediately the thinking is gone.
Yes. Immediately there's thinking about other ideas, yeah. And so on. So we
and so, sometimes I cannot make the link between the end of your speech and the beginning. I say, okay, I think yes, this is correct, yes. And I remember what you say at the beginning. I say, what is the link between the two ideas? Yes. It's not clear.
So I know also, and so I just explained a little bit what Ajahn was saying, try to make it simple. So we discussed yesterday how there's always one citta arising at each moment in life. So one moment of consciousness arising and falling away. So a moment of seeing arises and sees the visible object, no one there, no one involved. But seeing has to arise with chetasikas, mental factors. And one of these chetasikas, which Ajahn was just mentioning, is sanya, or memory.
Yes.
So sanya has to arise with citta at each moment. So when seeing arises and sees the visible object, sanya arises and marks and remembers that visible object. So later there could be thinking about it. So the same with hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
Yeah.
And when there are moments of thinking, when there is that thinking about the story, conjuring up the story about the truck in the road, many, many moments of thinking are arising, and sanya is also arising, marking and remembering the object at those moments too. And not just sanya, but many other chetasikas as well. And each one has its own particular characteristic and has its own job to do. We call it its function. So sanya has the characteristic of remembering, and its task or function is to remember what is experienced. Other chetasikas we mentioned yesterday, like concentration, have a different characteristic and a different function. Feeling just feels. It feels in a pleasant or unpleasant or neutral way. So different chetasikas have a different characteristic and a different job to do, but they all arise with the citta and experience exactly the same object and fall away with the citta. So when we talk about citta arising and falling away, actually we're talking about citta and chetasikas arising and falling away together.
Yeah.
Is that clear?
Yeah. And all chetasika up and arise all at the same time.
They arise at the same time with the citta.
Like the memory or like...
Exactly. So they arise with the citta and fall away with the citta. And then the next citta arises with the next memory and the next concentration and the next contact. Experience the object and fall away. They combine together to experience the object. So at a moment of seeing, the seeing, which is the citta, arises with the chetasikas, they combine together, they all experience the visible object, and they all fall away together. A little bit clearer?
Yes, thank you.
Until yesterday, at one point when you somebody asked you and you answered in the affirmative about conditions for seeing, you were saying the eye, you're referring to the eye, the visible object, and seeing. These are conditions. That's when you first started understanding something about conditions. I wanted to follow up with the fact that there are many conditions, and including explain something about the chetasikas by saying that maybe you will understand that when there's seeing, there's contact of visible object with the eye. Now that seeing simply sees. It cannot perform the function of contact. Contact is a particular function, is also a mental reality. So this helps the citta. It arises with the citta to perform that particular function. So with the other chetasikas that arise, the six other chetasikas like concentration, intention, contact, each of these perform different functions. Otherwise, the citta simply sees. It cannot perform these other functions. So it shows that the chetasikas must arise with the citta, and the citta must arise with the chetasika for any particular experience. So that's talking about seeing. And then when there's thinking with attachment, there must be more chetasikas. For example, attachment. And then there's ignorance, and there are a few others. So chaitasikas must arise to perform their functions for different kind of experiences. And they rise, experience the same object and fall away altogether with the chitta. That's the idea of chitta arising with chaitasikas.
From another perspective, it is said that for each moment of seeing or hearing, there are countless, countless moments of thinking about the reality that has been experienced by seeing or hearing. For example, as I'm speaking now, hearing is experiencing just sound. But so rapidly do moments of consciousness arise and fall away, and so many moments of thinking about what is being heard arise for each single moment of experiencing the sound, that immediately there is the recognition that it's a person speaking, who that person is, what is the meaning of the words being spoken, and how they relate to the words that came before and after them and the train of thought and so forth. So much thinking going on that enables one to understand and follow the meaning of things. And that's all by way of the mind, or not the actual hearing itself, the function of which is just to experience bare sound without knowing anything about it. And that is another aspect of how the mind is able to create the illusion of the world as we experience it. In some sense it's an illusion, but in other senses it's not a pure product of imagination, because there is a basis for forming the idea of people sitting around a table, there is a basis for interpreting the meaning of what I'm saying and so forth.
Jonathan talked about thinking, so many moments of thinking after each experience. And yesterday we talked about thinking is never neutral, it's always with kusala and akusala. And we talked about a citta and the next citta. There is never a moment without citta, each one follows the next one. And that is why there can be, we use the term accumulation, and that may be a little bit difficult to understand. Each citta that falls away conditions the following one and the following one. And that is why one of the conditions is called contiguity condition. That means that each citta is followed by a following one. And that is why there can be more attachment and more attachment and more attachment. And in that way we say it's accumulated, or ignorance is accumulated, or good qualities like understanding can be accumulated, or generosity can be accumulated. And that is the meaning of accumulation. It may be a little bit difficult to understand.
I understand we must accumulate wholesome thoughts, and there's intention in the chitta-sika, chitana. But if there's no self inside, who's doing that? I would like to have accumulate more wholesome thoughts. But if there's no self, who will be doing that for me?
Only the citta and chaitasika, and no person can accumulate anything. But it's a condition. So you are listening now to Dhamma, and a little more understanding each day, and that is why the chaitasika understanding can accumulate more and more, but very slowly, very, very little at a time. No person.
No person.
And even you say intention, chaitana. Well, intention is also chaitasika. So no self is doing anything. It's just the citta and chaitasikas.
No person but an individual, because each stream of consciousness is different from each other stream of consciousness.
Cindy, as John was saying before, for each moment of a sense perception, okay, where a rupa is being in the sense door process, okay, there's hundreds and hundreds of thought processes about it. So it's all these thought processes that create the idea that there is a person there. And so that's how we come to see that, we come to think that there's a Betty, there's all these things here, they all have shape and form, when in actual fact, the only thing about this is it is visible object, it is cool to the touch, it is stationary, it's not hard, I mean it's hard or soft. That's the only thing that's really real about this thing that we call this bottle of water. So that all creates those perceptions, okay? It's not, so that it's all part of the same process, whether it's good or akusala or kusala, okay? Whether it's unwholesome or wholesome, it's still all created the same way.
Cindy, was it clear what Nina was saying about Chaitanya and intention being conditioned and no self involved, no self that can do anything? Because like at this moment, it seems that I can intend to, or I can have the intention to use the microphone, but actually it's just different moments of thinking, different moments of intention, the mental factor with the thinking, and each moment of thinking, we're thinking whether to pick up the microphone or not, each moment of thinking, each moment of intention is conditioned and arises because of that accumulation. So it seems there's an I that can decide to do it, but even that is just an idea that has been thought about, like being lost. If there's no idea of I can do, where is the I that can do? So it's just a moment of thinking about the fantasy that I can do something. Actually, it's just a moment of intention, just a moment of thinking that's conditioned right now.
So about accumulation of wholesome thoughts, that's what everyone want to have. So you're saying no one's doing that, so we just need to be try to have conscious thoughts, and then it becomes like a pattern.
So if nobody can cannot be at will, and it says thinking of self also, I want to accumulate wholesomeness. But it's better to have more understanding that it is all, like Sarah used to say, passing dhammas. Nobody can do anything, but just understanding, even unwholesomeness. It's very good to understand unwholesomeness too. And at the moment of understanding unwholesomeness, there is already wholesomeness, because understanding is wholesome.
And I don't know if it would help, but instead of thinking about developing wholesome thoughts, what is to be developed actually are the wholesome qualities, such as generosity, consideration, understanding.
I understand. But you say there's no self doing that, so it just happens by condition.
It happens by conditions because we all have accumulated tendencies for these qualities to a greater or lesser degree. But the basis for developing more wholesome qualities rather than unwholesome ones has to begin with understanding the difference between wholesome moments and unwholesome moments as they arise in daily life. And at the moment, there's no real understanding of that difference. We tend to think in terms of the nature of the activity as determining the mental state. But that's, as we've been discussing, not in fact the position. It's the other way around. It's the quality of the mental state mm-hmm. that determines the nature of the thought or the deed of a body, speech or mind. That's why we discuss about the characteristic of different moments of consciousness, because every wholesome moment of consciousness is characterized by mental calmness. Mental calmness is the distinguishing mark of wholesome mental states, whereas restlessness is the distinguishing mark of unwholesome mental states. And as we've said, both are conditioned. They arise by conditions, and that is why there's no control, but there are conditions for the development of more wholesome mental states if we understand that it cannot be forced to arise. But when wholesome mental states do arise, they can be known as such. And that is the beginning of the development of more wholesome mental states. Appreciation of the value of wholesome mental states, not just wanting to be a better person, but understanding that wholesome mental states are beneficial to oneself and to others, are not harmful to either oneself or others.
So when you say develop, what do you mean by develop?
What the texts mean by develop is not a doing, but just the increase, the increasing, the accumulation.
You mean like awareness?
Even for awareness, it's developed when it arises. If there's awareness, then awareness is being developed. Whether or not it arises depends on conditions. It can't be made to arise just by deciding to be aware or focusing on something. It is conditioned to arise by hearing more and more about what it is, what its function is, that it's a wholesome mental state, and particularly what can be the object of awareness. Because most people think awareness means just a general paying attention to what is being seen at the present moment, such as whether it's a house or a person or whatever, being in the present moment, something vague like that. But specifically, we understand that awareness takes as its object one of these realities we've been talking about, the seeing or the visible object, the hearing or the sound. And awareness is the beginning of knowing more about the nature and characteristic of these different realities that we take for being the world we live in.
To be developed, wholesome qualities, that has to be with understanding. If there's no understanding, that wholesome quality cannot be developed. Like yesterday we talked about metta, kindness, friendliness. Someone may think that every time they play with a little puppy dog, there is kindness or friendliness, but mostly it's attachment. Yes. So if there's no understanding of what the quality of kindness is, different from the quality of attachment at that moment, then kindness cannot be developed. So for any development, there must be understanding. And for the development we're talking about, it has to be the understanding of that reality as not self, not my kindness, not anyone's kindness, but just that quality, that wholesome quality.
As long as there is not clear understanding of reality, there must be idea of self at any time, like now. I see. See, because there's not yet the understanding and the precise or direct understanding of seeing as it is. Just learn to hear about that which now appears, as nobody can do anything because actually there's no one. There are realities. Why are they realities? Because they are real. Because they are appearing now. Seeing is real. Hearing is real. Thinking is real. They are all conditioned by their own proper conditions. When there is more and more understanding of the truth of reality, there would be less and less attachment to the idea of self. For example, intention is a reality. Why? Because it's real. It's conditioned to be such reality, just to intend the will to do. Like or dislike or attachment or disattachment. Each has its own characteristic that no one can do anything. But whenever there is something appear, we can hear about it and think over it to really understand it as not I at all. For example, can seeing be the I which or who sees impossible because it's conditioned. No matter the blind would like to see so much, it's impossible to have seeing arising at all because seeing is conditioned. Even one doesn't like to see, but it's there already by conditions. That's why we learn to understand realities as they are, as uncontrollable. And we learn to understand the distinction between each reality, like contact. Now it's contacting. The rupa, the visible object, can it contact the eye? Can the visible object contact the eye? Not at all. But the reality, the mental reality, which performs a function of contacting the object, because it arises to experience by way of contacting only. So each reality has its own characteristic and its own function. To be known as not self at all. So we learn to understand the distinction between the citta and the cittasikas. Even they arise together, but they are different. So when one says about citta, it includes cittasika, which arises with that moment of citta. Not necessary to say all cittasikas by name, which arise with a certain citta. Each citta is different by cittasikas which accompany are different. At moment when there is life, our reality, attachment is real. It arises and performs its function to be attached, just to attach. It cannot do anything else. It cannot remember. It cannot intend. But as soon as or whenever it arises, it attaches. Opposite of hate or what other realities, as soon as whatever arises, it has its own characteristic, which can be known. What do you feel now? See, that can be known because it's a reality, but it's not citta. But whenever citta arises, there is a reality, cetasika, mental factor, which feels the object. Being pleasant or unpleasant according to accumulation and conditions too. That's why I learn to understand realities as not self, little by little, until it can be direct experience of the arising and falling away. By then, it will eliminate doubt about non-self and it will eliminate about the idea of I can do or there is I. Until it's completely eradicated by sota pattimagga citta, the higher level of understanding. But not yet all kilesa gone, stage by stage.
I think this question reminds me of one example, but I'm not sure if it's appropriate. Like there's no self developed, there's no self on the intention. The example is for the auto car driving. There is nothing permanent in the car, but if no one in the car can make a right or decide to make a left or speed up or slow down. And there's really nothing permanent in the car, or no one own the intention in the car to the decision. I don't know if this example is appropriate or not.
Actually, there is no one, no thing, no car.
I was just thinking about Cindy's question about develop. If there's no one intention, it's no one who owns the intention. I'm not sure if that's related to.
When a reality arises more often, it's more than you. When it's not arise more.
You mean purely programmed events happening by conditions?
Right. I mean the point of the automatic driving car is this really no self in the car. But it seems the car can make a decision to make a right turn or speed up or slow down or braking. So I don't know, that's just example appropriate or not appropriate, for there's no one there to make the decision.
Oh, who knows that? Who knows that?
Chitta or chitta.
See, yeah. Just thinking about that which appears.
Right.
The magic world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'd like to add something about awareness. Because Jindy was talking about awareness. There is each wholesome chitta, when there are conditions for wholesome chitta to arise, there is a level of awareness, but there are many degrees of it. It is non-forgetful of what is like generosity or helping other people. There is already awareness or sati, which is non-forgetful of the opportunity for having this moment. But when it is of the level of realities, it's altogether different. When it arises with understanding, it's non-forgetful of sound now, which experience, or visible object, or any, or even thinking, or akusala. Even when akusala arises, there can be awareness of it, and at that moment, the chitta with understanding and awareness is wholesome already. So it has conditions for its arising. So it's good to know that there are many levels. And at this moment, while listening to the Dhamma, we don't try anything. We don't try. But there is listening, and there are also wholesome moments when there is some understanding. There is already awareness of the level of thinking of the Dhamma and of listening. And that can develop later on. It can be accompanying direct understanding, as Ajahn explained. There is the elimination more of the idea of self and less doubt about the realities.
Cindy, starting with what Nina said earlier, was trying to say earlier about the nature of chittas passing on all the information to the next chitta when falling away, and to the new one, and on and on. And that's how everything accumulates from past to the future. Nothing is lost. And then go on to a John talking about kusla, akusla, chittas and chetasikas accumulating by repeated arising. And then Sarah talking about how panya actually, because it knows what is right and wrong, what is good, what is bad, actually encourages more wholesome and discourage unwholesome. I mean, helps in reducing the unwholesome. And then Ajahn talking about the importance of understanding the present moment, because that's what everything is happening, because whatever we talk about can only be understood from the reality appearing now. Actually, all that actually points out to the fact that there can't be a person. All this talk about realities actually points out to the fact that there can't be a person. So no question about how anything develops. It's because there are realities, each being the nature they are, that there can be increase of good or increase of bad. And how karma, and indeed now, can produce results in the future.
That's the first time I heard that panya knows good or bad. So that helps.
Does panya know only good or bad? Does panya know only good or bad?
That's what he said.
That's all it knows? Is that all panya knows?
Does only panya know?
No, is only know?
No. Panya marks or records everything, right?
No, that's sanya.
Sanya, panya. I don't know.
Panya is wisdom.
Wisdom. Okay.
Yeah.
And when we say no person, no self, the meaning is no one in control, because everything we've been talking about is conditioned. So the seeing at the present moment is conditioned. Whether
there is liking or disliking what is seen at the present moment is conditioned by previous accumulated tendencies. What we say when we speak is conditioned by things we've heard before, our understanding, the person we're speaking to, and so forth. If all these realities are conditioned, then if we want to say there is a person, what are we referring to? But what we're not denying is there are different individual sets of consciousness. The consciousness that we take for one person is not and has nothing to do with the consciousness that is taken for another person. So each stream of consciousness accumulates its own tendencies and acts independently of other streams of consciousness.
Let's talk a little bit more about panya. So panya is understanding, different from sanya, which is memory or perception. So we said that sanya arises at every moment with every citta. At a moment of seeing, there is sanya, which remembers or marks the object. At a moment of hearing, at a moment of smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. So sanya arises with every citta. But panya, understanding, doesn't arise with every citta. At moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching, there's no panya. At moments of unwholesome, when unwholesome cittas arise, for example, when one's annoyed or when there's attachment, there's no panya at those moments. At moments of ordinary wholesomeness in the day, like moments of being kind or moments of generosity, usually understanding doesn't arise. So it's wholesome, but it's just one's tendency or habit for being wholesome. And usually there's no understanding. But panya is a chetasika that can accumulate through hearing and knowing more about realities like now. So when understanding understands, it understands what is real at this moment. It understands, for example, seeing is just seeing, that reality which experiences what is seen. Hearing is just hearing, that reality which hears sound. And it can understand what is wholesome and what is unwholesome. So at a moment of kindness, it can understand that kindness is wholesome, a quality that is beneficial. When annoyance arises, it can understand that annoyance is unwholesome, a reality that isn't good to be accumulated. So understanding, panya can understand any reality. There's another kind of panya, but we don't need to talk about that now because we're talking about the panya, the understanding, which understands reality, any reality, wholesomeness, unwholesomeness, seeing, hearing, rupas like hardness or warmth or visible object. It can understand any reality which appears now in daily life. At the moment of thinking about being lost, thinking is real. It can understand that thinking as also just a passing dharma. Is that a little more clear?
Yes. So we are always reminded by Ajahn, panya is still weak, panya is still weak. So it's good to know that, because we were Sarah was just talking about kindness, unselfish kindness and affection. But the moments are so close, and it's very difficult to know the difference. Like we love the dog, and it is not only thinking of the welfare of the dog, but selfish affection. We love so much to see the dog, and the moments are so close. And when panya is weak, it's really difficult to know the different characteristics. But it is good anyway to whatever arises, be it wholesome or unwholesome, is just only a conditioned dhamma, not belonging to me.
Illustrate the danger of ignorance and attachment. I mean, we all love our parents or children or spouse. How many times do we question the nature of that? You know, we end up really thinking that it's a good thing, right? Right? So that's because it's with ignorance. And the strength of the attachment doesn't want to let go.
Talking about children, yesterday you were having the discussion after dinner with Florence, and when we asked Florence where are her children now, she said that they are in Hoi An. And we asked again, and she said again they are in Hoi An with the father. And then after we mentioned that actually only when she thinks about them, so she said that is something that is really difficult for her to get. I don't know whether today we talk a lot about the magician and everything. Does that make more sense to you, or you want to say more about this?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes? Okay. No, I think I understand now what you talk about yesterday and this morning about thinking. I think I understand. But there is one big question actually I want to ask since the beginning. I think it's hard for me to understand condition, because you often talk about condition, but can you explain me more about this? Because I can understand something simple when you say hearing or seeing, but after sometimes I don't understand when you say something and you say it's condition, and it looks clear but not for me.
I will just give one example and pass the ball to Ajahn, because at the beginning of this session she said, can you make seeing arise or stop seeing arising? And the answer was no. Can you make hearing arise or stop hearing arising? And we said no. That means that hearing arises by conditions, not by the exercise of will on the part of any person.
But which condition then?
Is there any reality? So we begin to talk about condition if we know that there must be reality, otherwise there's no conditions at all. So is there any reality?
Yes.
Yes. Does it arise?
Yes.
Can you stop its arising? Or can you have it arise at will?
I try, no.
Okay. This is hard when it's touched, right? But what is seen is there, but not hardness.
Yes.
But what is there? Can you stop its arising to be that which can be seen?
No.
And that is meant by condition. The hardness and softness are the four primary rupas. The softness and hardness and so on, there are four primary rupas, must be there all the time for any rupa to arise. For example, you cannot separate the visible object from hardness at all.
So condition has no time?
There are many conditions, at least the main ones are 24 kinds of conditions. And we learn to understand reality first in order to know what conditions condition this reality. For example, visible object, where is it? It has to be at that which is hard, but it's not hardness, it's not softness, but it's only reality which can appear when there is seeing, because there is the eye base. Without the eye base, there cannot be seen. There cannot be the appearance of what is seen now. See, each must have or needs many conditions, not just only one. For seeing itself, it needs the eye base, the essence and the visible object. If the visible object does not impinge on it, there can never be seeing at all. Right? And without Chetasika, seeing cannot arise. And beyond that, without the kamma, wholesome or unwholesome, then cannot be the seeing which is the result of the deeds in the past to experience what is seen, what is heard. All of these are the citta, which are the result, not the cause. See, we see different things. Sometimes we experience or see pleasant things and sometimes unpleasant. Why? It's the way. What we are listening about is the answer for why and why and why. Why it is, why there is visible object which can be seen. Why there is seeing. Why there is the heart base. They are all conditioned realities. Chitta conditions chetasikas, and chetasikas condition a moment of chitta. Only one chetasika cannot condition chitta to arise. It needs at least 7 chetasikas for seeing to arise, for hearing to arise. And it also needs the past karma, which has been done, no matter in what life, to condition just a moment of experiencing visible object. So many conditions, they are realities by different means.
And we don't have to name the different conditions. The idea is to understand that everything is conditioned in different ways. So we're just talking generally about conditioned things at the moment. And everything we've been discussing can be seen from the point of view of conditions. We've been talking about how people have different tendencies because of the accumulation of different qualities in the past, and this is another kind of condition. The main thing is at this stage to understand that everything is different conditions, and later on it's possible to discuss in more detail those different conditions and have names for them, but it's really not necessary to go to that level of detail for the purpose of getting the gist of the conditioned nature of things, because that is what helps to disabuse us of the notion of a being, a person in control, a soul or a central essence that continues from life to life and exercises control over what is happening in the present moment.
John, I'd like to ask you a question. The other day you said something about that causes were different from conditions. And I'd like you to explain what you meant by that.
I think what I said was that conditions doesn't mean the same as causes, because there are many different kinds of conditions. When we talk about a cause in general language, we mean that something that gives birth to something else, something that
brings it into
has a cause and result relationship, like karma, for example, is a good example of cause. We call it cause, and we call vipaka result. But object condition, every jitta has to have an object.
Right, but
that's
how is
not
that
a cause, is it?
Why not?
We don't call that cause, because jitta arises by so many conditions.
Mm. Betty, just a simple, like the chetana in the past, which is cause, produces vipaka now, right?
Right.
So seeing now arises because of previous chetana. We don't know which one.
Yeah.
But the seeing now also arises with chetana chetasika, which is a different one. This
but
chetana
still,
is not...
Still,
this chetana is conditioning the other
right,
mental
it's
factor.
Still a cause.
It's not cause. That is the meaning of cause.
I see. You're making a distinction.
That is the meaning of cause, and this is the meaning of condition. The chetana now is conditioning the chitta and other mental factors, but the chetana in previous life is the cause for the seeing
right,
now.
So how do you define condition?
Conditions are dhammas that must arise together with other dhammas and perform.
No, it can be before,
right.
Together with,
right,
or
right.
After.
There are many conditions.
So, I would, to answer your question about condition, it's a relationship, Betty. There's a relationship of some kind between two different dhammas. Sarah has something.
Yeah, Yeah, I understand X must be present in order for Y to arise.
Okay. Not necessarily at all, because actually this was Florence's question beforehand. The condition, the conditioning factor may have risen long, long time ago. For example, if we're talking about karma condition, the condition that seeing now is the result of past karma, and that karma can have occurred many lifetimes ago. So the condition that brings about what is conditioned now may have arisen in the past, may have arisen just a moment ago, may be arising at the same time. For example, we were talking about cheetahs and cheetah seekers have to arise together and condition each other at the same time. So this is a condition that conditions other realities at the same time. So we cannot just say that it's at the same time, because some conditions which bring a result now may have occurred before. When we talk about how visible object conditions seeing now, the visible object must have already arisen. The eye sense must have already arisen in order for seeing to experience it. So there are many different conditions that work to bring their result by way of the factor that is conditioned in different ways. So as Ajahn said, the 24 main conditions, one of those is karma, one relates to how the accumulated tendencies like attachment or understanding accumulate or develop. One refers to how the dharmas can arise together, such as cheetahs and cheetah seekers, or groups of rupas, which Ajahn mentioned, like when she said, when visible object is seen, why is each visible object different? Because actually it arises in a group with other rupas. So many different conditions, but it just refers to how usually a reality brings about another reality. How, as Jonathan said, it's a relationship between the past or the present dharma that brings about another one. And the reason we discuss them is just to indicate how, to understand how there's no self involved at all.
Excuse me, I just want Sukin to explain further.
I just went wrong just now because I forgot about conditions, so many kinds of conditions that don't necessarily, as Sarah was saying, arise together at the same time. Anyway, the distinction that I make is, for example, karma. The nature of karma, it's karma condition, of course, by way of producing results later on. That's one function of karma. Another function of karma is by marshalling, that when it arises together with the chittasikas, it performs that function too. So in this case, there's the idea of conditioned. In that case, it's conditioned and also a cause. Means the karma of the past is a condition for vipaka now, but you can also say that it's a cause. Because the vipaka now is a different chitta, yeah. Right? It's a new chitta.
I think you're trying to find another word when they both really mean cause.
Okay. What I'm saying is that the chetana that arises with the seeing now did not cause this vipaka to arise. It just is a condition, one type of condition. But it's not the cause. It's not the cause for this vipaka. The cause for this vipaka is previous chetana.
Yeah, okay, in terms of
distinguishing between cause and condition.
In terms of dham, I can understand that. But in terms of all of it being this particular condition being present, for that particular condition to arise is still, in my mind, a cause.
The word condition is more suitable than cause.
Okay.
I think if we don't understand reality as it is, we cannot understand condition at all. That's why even there are 24 kinds of conditions, but we learn to understand one by one. For example, seeing now, it experiences visible object. Is visible object a condition for seeing to arise? This is the way to learn to understand that all realities are conditioned reality. Even seeing right now, it experiences that which is seen. So that which is seen, the visible object, is it a condition for seeing to arise? Without it, there is no seeing at all. And this is the meaning of condition.
See, this I understand, but I think it's the terminology
little
we're using.
Little by little, little by little. Without that, that cannot arise.
That I understand.
But it's the meaning of condition.
So just interrupting, would you say visible object then is the cause of seeing?
From my mind, it is. It has to be present in order for the seeing to arise.
That makes it a
and
cause.
And for me, that's cause. I can't see that there you make a distinction between a condition and a cause.
That's why we learn more about different conditions one by one. For example, there is also the hetu condition.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But now the visible object does not condition citta by way of hetu.
Right. There's
other
conditions.
So there are many conditions.
Yes.
And we are talking about just one by one. For example, in order to understand what condition is, it's reality.
This I can understand, but I don't understand making the distinction in the terminology.
No, without that, there cannot be this.
Right, that
okay.
I understand.
So, and the question is whether the visible object now, is it a condition for seeing to arise? So we learn to understand more and more conditions, not only one condition.
Or then how do you define cause?
Not yet, just condition.
Okay.
Can I try?
Yeah.
A seeing arises with the chetasikas.
Yeah.
The chetana, for example. The chetana conditions the seeing, the seeing conditions the chetana. Mm-hmm. It's both ways.
Yeah.
Whereas the karma that causes the vipaka now, the karma is the cause for this vipaka, but this vipaka is not the cause of that. So the relationship between condition is both ways.
Say that again.
The relationship with condition, citta and cetasikas, condition each other.
Right, okay.
Right? But the previous karma that causes the vipaka now, is the result of that.
Another example of cause that's not without karma. Use another. John was talking about conditions, and this I can understand, but I don't understand the difference between that
step.
And a cause.
Just step by step.
Okay.
So now no doubt about conditions anymore. So now, what is condition for seeing?
Conditions for seeing is that the citta arise.
Condition for citta. What is condition for citta? We talk about our reality and condition for each.
Okay, so for then gam is one condition. Okay. But how is this different from cause?
We don't talk about gamma yet. We just talk about citta, cetasika, and rupa.
Yes.
And that can be understood. For example, seeing now needs what to be conditioned for its arising.
Okay. There needs to be a base, there needs to be jitta, to be an
object.
So
the eye base is a condition, but not the same as that which is seen as condition, different condition.
Right, but how is it?
That's
how
why
is
we
it
learn from one to one, that now that you see, we don't talk about karma yet, not talk about vipaka yet,
okay.
But we talk about just seeing itself. It's conditioned by visible object as aramanapachya. Object condition.
Okay.
Without this, seeing cannot arise. And what about the eye? It's not the object condition. So what kind of condition is it? We learn to understand little by little.
This I can understand.
So
what is the difference between a cause?
What's the answer? What is the condition she's asking you?
the condition for eye-base to arise?
No.
What kind of condition is eye-base for seeing?
In other words, there are three things that must arise together in order for there to be seeing. There must be the eye-base, there must be...
Yes, but by what kind of condition? Not the same kind of condition.
So different, sure.
That's why we learn to understand in order to be sure that there's no self at all.
Where is the cause in this?
Later.
Sorry. Ajahn is going step by step.
Okay.
Her question is, by what condition is the base? What is the base a condition? What kind of condition it is?
Okay, one of the 24 anyway.
Right.
See, but now we know that there must be different conditions for each reality to
us. Yes.
If you don't know what condition, but it's a condition, right? So there are other conditions as well.
Right.
And there is also cause condition. Hetu condition.
Ah, okay. Oh, so you're making the distinction of hetu condition. Oh, okay.
So now I'm confused. I never heard the hetus
condition
being cause, used
as
cause.
That's why
cause.
We have to know what realities are hetu. We learn little by little. So there are cittas, cetasikas, and rupas. What can be cause condition? That's why we have to know what is cause, why it is cause. So what are the causes? If we don't understand citta, cetasika, we cannot say it all.
Mm-hmm. So just for other people, hetu means root. So at a moment when unwholesome cheetahs arise, they always arise with a root of ignorance and sometimes with a root of attachment as well, and sometimes with a root of aversion as well, or sometimes just ignorance on its own. And if we're talking about wholesome cheetahs, kusala cheetahs, they always arise with a root of non-attachment, always with the root of non-aversion, and sometimes with a root of punya, understanding as well. So these are six roots. And the reason that they are cause condition is because this is referring to the arising of wholesome or unwholesome cheetahs which accumulate. So this is what Jan is talking about.
About the base. We did not finish yet. Base is a rupa, and it can be base condition or nisaya pachaya in Pali. It doesn't matter about the term. But eye sense is a physical base for seeing, and that conditions it by base condition. Ear sense is a physical base for hearing, and so for all the other sense impressions, they have the physical base too, the object condition and base condition. Before we go on.
And both of those are also conditioned by way of pre-arising reality, parijata. So you can't call everything a cause. They are different conditions.
That's very good. Yeah, very good. But one condition, and that condition is conditioned again by different, so it's really very complex. And that helps us to see that there is no self. That is the purpose of the teaching.
That's good that you point out the meaning of cause as hetus, as being hetus. So when we say past karma is a cause for present vipaka, it's not, it's because at that, the karma hetus, with hetus, condition the vipaka. So it is because of those hetus that now they're seeing, there's hearing. So is that the meaning of cause when we say past karma condition the present vipaka?
Another condition is karma condition. But before we can understand vajja, we better understand the citta and cetasika and rupa clearer and clearer in order to understand that it cannot arise without condition at all, little by little. Now, we know that No one can condition or make citta to arise at all. Without the conditions, that cannot be seen, arising and seen now. So it cannot be taken for self at all. All realities are realities, no one there. So when we don't know about the awareness yet, we just think whether there is awareness or not. But when there is more understanding, we can understand whether there is awareness or not now. So any word we use, we better understand its nature as reality. What about awareness? Is it a reality? We can go back and forth here and there in order to just understand better and better. Now we just come to the word awareness because we hear the word awareness many, many times. What is it? Is it real? The first thing is whether is it real? Yes. What kind of reality is it? There are actually four kinds of the absolute realities. Citta, the faculty, the chief of experiencing, and Cetasika, mental factor, they both experience arising and experience. And the Rupa, that which arises but cannot experience at all. So these are the conditioned realities. Citta and Cetasika and Rupas are conditioned realities. And there is another reality, the absolute reality, Nibbana. Is there Nibbana now? Is he Nibbana? Is here Nibbana? It's different from Citta, Cetasika and Rupa because it's unconditioned reality. So now we just talk about the conditioned realities because they appear, they arise all day long. They are citta or cetasika or rupa, no one there. So what is awareness? We use the term many times, even before hearing the teachings. Are you aware now?
There is a level of awareness, the level of listening and intellectual understanding of the reality now, but not yet direct awareness which arises with Satipatthana.
But before that, we have to understand what is awareness. Otherwise, we don't know what we're talking about.
Yes, a wholesome mental reality, a cetasika, that is attentive or non-forgetful of wholesome, what is wholesome, in different levels.
So we're talking now about a new cetasika, sati, S-A-T-I, sati, and sati cannot arise with moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. It cannot arise with unwholesome cetas because it's a wholesome, a beautiful cetasika. But whenever there is any wholesomeness of any kind, sati must be there. And if we're talking like we are now about realities, then at those moments there is awareness of the object, of the reality. Sati actually arises with all kinds of wholesomeness. So at those moments of kindness, when there's no understanding, sati is there. It is aware of its object. It is aware in a wholesome way. But if we're talking about the realities now, then it is sati which is aware of visible object or seeing or thinking at this moment. So this is sati that Ajahn...
Okay, Ajahn mentioned roots and gamma as cause. But we also know those are two of the 24 conditions. So how does cause differ from condition? Still not being basically answered.
We have to know what cetasikas are dhamma condition and what cetasikas are root conditions.
Yes, okay.
So what reality is dhamma?
So karma is a condition.
Yes, but what reality? What kind of reality?
Oh, it's a jetasika.
What jetasika?
Jetana.
Jetana jetasika. Mm-hmm. Does it arise with each moment of citta?
Yes.
So there is karma with each citta.
Yes.
So there are different kinds of karma.
Yes.
Two kinds of karma. Please.
So now at each moment of seeing, hearing, thinking, there is chetana which arises with every chitta and conditions the associated chitta and chetasikas. So this is one kind of condition that they arise together, so it conditions them by associating, it coordinates the chetasikas it arises with and okay. the chitta. So this is one kind of pachya. So we just say that it conditions by associating with them.
Okay,
different from being
that.
Root condition. Okay. But this kind of function at this moment of associating, it cannot bring results later. It cannot be the cause of results to occur later.
Okay.
So when chetana arises with kusala or akusala chittas, it still coordinates the chetasikas and the chittas
okay.
in a wholesome or unwholesome way. And if it is strong enough, as we discussed yesterday, if it's powerful enough and the right factors are in place, then it can bring about results at a later time. And when that result occurs later, for example, seeing now, hearing now is a result of past karma, then it has, we say, caused this result to occur by way of karma pachya, karma condition. So this is the second kind of karma condition that causes results to occur at a later time, different from its function of condition nanakanika pachya, nanakanika karma pachya. It means it has brought results at a later time. So it's different from its function of when it just conditions the chitta and chitta seekers that it arises with. Okay.
But still, even if it's the result of past occurrence that arises now, it's still a matter of conditions. So even when we say it's the cause of present, what's happening now is arisen by conditions, not by causes.
Whatever arises now, has any dharma, any reality that has arisen now, has arisen by conditions. So this is one condition, there are other conditions too, but the way that cause is used, it is referring to the way that that particular condition has caused this reality to arise, which is different from other conditions which perform their function in a different way. So it's just a word of terminology, that's all. Whatever it is, it's conditioned, yes.
What about the kriya citta of the arhats? In that case, the chetana that arises in those cittas, do they condition? We cannot say that by nanakanika karma.
Just for newcomers, Tam is asking a question about those who are fully enlightened. For those who are fully enlightened, no new karma is produced and there are no wholesome or unwholesome chittas, and the unwholesome tendencies have been completely eradicated, and instead of wholesome chittas they have chittas which are called kriya or inoperative. So it's still a beautiful chitta, beautiful chitta seekers, but it cannot bring results. So they cannot be the cause of results by this condition at all, because no new karma at all.
Yeah, they're with roots, but they're with beautiful roots, but they cannot bring results later because there cannot be any new birth, there cannot be any new results of the karma at all. The task has been done.